You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue on a Monday. Mike McNamara with you, and a privilege to be joined again by the one and only Sarah Rutter. Sarah, first of all, apologies for being late, but good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. For those of you who haven't met Sarah, she's a medically retired Marine Lance Corporal, and she damaged her foot in after the bombing of the Pentagon on September 11th, and tells an incredible story about the day she got promoted was that day, and then hanging outside hanging around outside in the smoking area, I think, of the Navy Annex of Headquarters Marine Corps when the plane went into the Pentagon, and going down there to help, and then what they did that night and the following day. And so, sir, before we talk about your most recent exploits as an athlete, one of the things that people have mentioned to me after listening to your interview is hearing that you maneuvered around with your ankle for what would you say 13 years before you had it amputated?
Yes.
What was that like? I mean, in pain every day?
Yeah, I was in pain every single day, and they basically were just trying different things to try and save the leg, and you know, it's just one surgery after the next, trying a whole new different procedure, putting metal in, taking metal out, putting metal in again, taking metal out, taking cartilage from different parts of my body and putting it in my ankle, and nothing seemed to work. And so I was just constantly in pain and living off pain meds, and it's just, you know, you get to a point where it's just, you don't want to live like that anymore. You don't want to have to depend on a medication to get you through a day.
And, you know, nothing illustrates your that feeling, that sentiment, as much as when you said that the day you got your prosthetic leg and you had been warned about, you know, you're going to go through a period of time when you would limp on it, that you stayed at physical therapy until you weren't walking with a limp. You were that determined because of those 13 years. And I want to say the quote from the interview was, I was determined from that day forward to get those 13 years back.
Right, exactly. So for those 13 years, you know, I walked with a limp constantly. I mean, most of the time I was on crutches or on a cane, just dragging the limb. And so I just told myself once I got the limb that I was going to do all I can to make it natural again.
I've got an email question. Mac, I heard the first interview with Sarah when they told her and spoke to her about the option of amputation. What year was it? And had she seen other Marines that had resumed very active lives that had come back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and did that affect her decision? So, Sarah, first of all, did you meet other Marines that had gone through amputations based on combat injuries? Did that affect your decision, and was it a hard decision at the time?
Actually, I felt like it was my only decision. It was, right. You know, I just couldn't live in pain anymore, and you know, you go through a period of depression because you're in so much pain, and, you know, pain brings a variety of different feelings and emotions that come along with it. So, you know, after I had my son, it was definitely a turning point to where I said something needs to be done. You know, if he wanted to play soccer on the front lawn, or so heaven forbid if he were to run in front of the street, or he wanted to ride a bike, I couldn't be able to do any of that stuff with him. So, you know, after I had my son and he started walking and being active in sports, that's when I kind of drew the line and said, you know, I need to be active and a part in his life. And having this limb, I can't do it. It's holding me back.
Wow. So the combination of your son and then the pain and seeing other, definitely.
I spoke to numerous combat amputee survivors, and they were resilient. They were out there, you know, doing what they could on their prosthetic limb, not letting it hold them back. And, you know, with them having that attitude, I told myself, you know, if they can get through it from what they went through, which was, you know, a traumatic amputation, I can get through something that I'm having time to plan for.
And as you look back on the decision, pretty good one?
Yeah, as soon as I talked to my doctor and, you know, we came to the conclusion that I've done everything I possibly could have done to save the limb, and the amputation was pretty much the only option for me unless I wanted to continue living in pain. And once that decision was made, I had my amputation a week later.
Wow. Wow. And I guess you'll point to that as a turning point in your life in terms of reclaiming your life.
Right, exactly.
How old is your son now?
He will be 8 on Friday.
And you can take him out and whip his ass in just about any sport you choose, right?
Oh, yeah. I just I volunteer to coach kids on season and off season. And so I just came from coaching about 6 kids just right now as we speak, you know, having them do movement drills and speed drills. So, you know, I was doing it right along with them, and it's a really good feeling to be able to do that.
Wow. Wow. My guest, Sarah Rutter, here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. All right, so the last week we spoke to you was after the Invictus Games. Tell us about the Warrior Games. First of all, you went up to West Point. What a beautiful place, huh?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was definitely beautiful. Those Army folks really live a glorious life there.
Yeah, and a lot of history. Did you get to tour the place?
Actually, I didn't have time. I trained and competed every single day.
All right. So how did you do?
I came back with 8 gold.
Are you kidding me? What, you're like Bruce Jenner for God? No, not Bruce Jenner. Who's a...
Oh, no,
you're Michael,
sorry.
You're like Michael Phelps, for God's sake.
Sorry, it was 7 gold and 1 silver.
Yeah, don't try to slip that extra gold in on us. The wow. So talk. So what are the events? You competed in 8 events. What are they?
I did the 100, the 200. Where's your ball, buddy? The 100, the 200 sprint. I did shot put discus. I did I swam the 50 meter freestyle, 100 meter freestyle, and 50-meter breaststroke. And then I did what else did I do? Wheelchair basketball. I did volleyball. And I think that's it. That was it.
So, you know, you're kind of unique in terms of an athlete in that you compete in both speed and power. It's almost like you're a decathlete that, you know, you'll run the sprints, but you also do the shot put and the discus. Kind of unique.
Yeah.
What do you, so now, have you already participated in what were those games that you told me about last time that were going to be up in Los Angeles?
I did the Angel City Games.
The Angel City Games.
Actually, a brand new competition, and it was developed because a parent had a child with a disability, and they realized he was a very active child, and there was nothing out there for him to be able to compete against other people with like injuries. And so they created the Angel City Games so that way children and adults can compete at their level playing field. And they also get classified while they're there. So it's definitely a level playing field because they were classified in order to run the race.
Sarah Rutter, our guest here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, and I've got an email for you, Mac. What a great ambassador for the Marine Corps, for women, and for injured veterans. I just want Sarah to know how much we truly appreciate everything she does and what an inspiration she is to a lot of people. I've now followed her on Twitter, and I enjoy some of the things that she puts out there. In fact, I enjoyed her tweet from this morning. So hold on, Sarah. What did you, while you were away, Sarah Rutter, we should not be individualizing and empowering a particular race. We should be teaching love and respect for all races. Last 10 days, pretty difficult days for the nation. Your thoughts on what you've seen, Sarah?
For me, it's pretty much a media war. The media is only showing, you know, a piece of action that people want to see, and will hype up that particular crowd in order to get a reaction. And the reaction that people are coming across with is very discouraging and disappointing to our nation, because I'm married to a black man, and I've never seen race or color or nationality or religion take part in me deciding a friendship or a relationship or anything. I kind of just look at them and realize that we all bleed the same color, and we should not be individualizing our nationality or race. We should actually be uplifting one another and overcoming the obstacles together and creating a solution together, not trying to separate and pretty much just showing anger towards each other because of the actions of other people.
You know,
and other people are suffering at the hands. Innocent police officers are dying because people are taking these actions way out of hand, and black and white officers are being killed because of the actions of other officers.
My guest here this morning is Sarah Rutter. Sarah, your husband's black. Do you worry about him when if he's stopped by the police? Do you have a concern about that?
No, I don't. Because as long as you are cooperating with the police officer's commands, and you're not reaching for anything, and you're upfront with saying, yes, I have a weapon in my glove compartment, right off bat, you're letting them be aware of what their reaction and response is going to be. And if you're not complying with their commands, then, you know, you're putting yourself in a situation that could end up deadly. My response is, it's you or me. And if I feel like my life is threatened, it's going to be you. It's not going to be me.
What happens if you don't have a gun, though? I mean, for instance, you can make the argument that the guy in Minneapolis did that. He's a passenger in a vehicle, gets stopped for a taillight out, and you know, from what I read, he said, and I don't know this, but because I haven't seen the cop statement, because they haven't been released yet. But what he said was, "Hey, I've got a weapon. I've got a concealed carry permit." And he was reaching for his wallet, and he got shot 4 times. So let's just say that's the truth for the sake of argument. I don't know that it is. What do you say? Because there's frustration, obviously, in the black community that this happens to us too many times, and we're not seeing a change. And so,
right.
So talk to that group. Give them advice from you.
What I would do is, let them know. I mean, my opinion is you have to break it down Barney style for them. You have to let them know, hey, I'm reaching for my wallet. I have a gun here. My hands are on the steering wheel. You know, just complying with their commands. And, you know, unfortunately, there are situations out there where it definitely is the officer's fault. He definitely was trigger happy. And innocent people have died. But you know what? Innocent people have died in both races. In fact, more white people are killed by police officers than the black community. And I just have a feeling, and for me, it's just that we should be fighting this together. It shouldn't be a black or a white thing. It should be, you know, changes need to be made on the police force, and extra training needs to be done, and it needs to be done for the entire community, singling out a specific race. It should just be across the board, and address the problem at hand.
You know, and the other thing you said, and I would absolutely agree with you as somebody who watches the media, CNN makes a living on this stuff. They
exactly.
You know, they take the worst video that they could find and they bomb it up there, and you know, and then they, you know, then you go to the Situation Room and everybody comments on it. But make no mistake about it, they know exactly what they're doing. I mean, the days of Ferguson when they covered that thing every night, shoving microphones in people's faces. I mean, they, you know, there comes a time when you have to question, you know, whether they're part of the problem and making money off it, or are they just bringing you the news? And I think the more I watch them, they cross a line in terms of, we're kind of helping this along. We're kind of helping this along because it's in our vested interest financially to do that. That's what we're about. Anyway, you sound like you have a carpool there, sir. Where are you headed?
I have my son and his been in the car for, we just came from soccer training.
All right. So let me ask you, what's next on the agenda in terms of your athletic schedule?
So I just got back last night from FIDA volleyball camp held in Oklahoma. And then I have another camp at the end of August for seated volleyball in Oklahoma. And then from there, I'm doing a trek in Nepal to bring awareness of prosthetics to the communities.
Wait, a trek in Nepal?
Yes. So the people that were affected by the earthquake.
Oh, right.
Several people lost limbs, and they feel that prosthetics wouldn't be beneficial to them because of the terrain. So a group of combat wounded veterans that are all amputees are going to trek through Nepal to show them that people with prosthetics could really be beneficial for them. Good morning.
Wow. Sarah Rutter continuing to do good things. All right, so when do you get back from Nepal? I have to write this down so I know when to talk to you.
October 6th.
October 6th. All right. All right. Well, Sarah, first of all, another 7 gold medals and 1 silver. So congratulations on that. And stay safe in your travels to Nepal. And we'll talk to you when you get back. Thanks for the visit.
Thank you so much.
You bet. That is that is Sarah Rutter. Sarah Rutter crushes it. 7 more gold, 1 silver. Mike Musselman joins us next on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.